Good morning, everyone. Today we are going to head to Antioch for a different journey. Today it's not Paul, it's Peter. But we only know this one because of Paul, actually. That's why we're in Galatians today, briefly. And just the background here is a picture of Antioch that would have looked like around this time frame. So we'll start with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much. It's been a great period of time. Really enjoying the weather, Lord. A great walk yesterday, and had a little bit of rain last night. Thank you, Lord. And thank you so much for all the blessings you give us. Help me with today's devotional, and I can relay information that you want me to relay. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. So, this is actually the last day that we're going to talk about Peter. And just as a note, I've had this really strong desire to look at John, but actually look at his writings. So, I think that I'm going to start working on. I've always thought through the years that probably the first book that any new Christian should read is John, the Apostle of, I mean the Gospel of John. Thought it's probably one of the best, and I haven't reviewed it in a little bit of, in a while, and it's in my devotional area at the moment. So I thought I would do John, and then maybe think about Revelation. Remember that Pastor Storm had started on Revelation before we said goodbye, and I think I might do that, continue that. It's a book that thinking of Paul that was I found it interesting that, but and I'll bring the verses up when we start. Then Thessalonica that Paul was only there 3 weeks, and that during that 3 weeks he taught them the gospel. But he also taught them about the end times, and I found that fascinating. So, talk about that tomorrow. But today, we have Peter's last journey that we have recorded. And the only reason that it was a little difficult to determine because of the way they reference it, it's actually in Acts 15, 1 through, 11. But to verify it, I'm starting in Galatians. Chapter 2, verse 11 through 6, 17, where Paul is making note of when he had an encounter with Peter up in Antioch. Because that kind of gives you a reference point as to what they're saying in Acts. So I'll start reading here. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. I realize that Paul didn't have a problem with Peter. But as you'll see, as we'll get to Acts, that some other people were making claims about him that were untrue, and so that's the general impression I get. It's not the easiest story to follow. So hopefully I make sense about it. For before that, a certain time came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Basically, what they're saying here in this verse, if you remember that when he was had gone to Caesarea, that the incident with the centurion, and that Peter had a vision about Gentiles, and the Gentiles were going to be accepted into the church, just as Jews are. But he still had issues when it came to the more Orthodox Jews, and so. That's what he's referencing here is that when he had come from James, and James was the brother of Jesus, and he was down in Jerusalem. Verse 13. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with the dissolution. In other words, Barnabas was also being swayed in the direction of the whole theory here was the circumcision. And in chapter verse 14, "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all." So here they're going to kind of call his bluff like this. So right in front of Peter, Paul is going to make an announcement that everybody assumes that Peter is the one that is going to be against what he's about to say, but he's not, because Paul already knows that Peter agrees with him on this. So I'll start over again, verse 14. "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou being a Jew livest among the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" So he's posing this question to the crowd. "We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles." Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. In other words, if you're listening to Jesus Christ, his words take precedent, but he doesn't necessarily go against the law. Actually, we know many times how he said he came to fulfill the law, but I always like this verse because it holds people to. It seems like a lot of the Jews were really hung up on following these laws, and Jesus, during his ministry, tried many times to try to convince them that the law was written to show us that we are sinners and there's no way we can save ourselves. And that's basically what I get out of this verse. So now to Acts 15:1. This is where I had a little bit of trouble because they're going to make reference. Couldn't quite figure out why they felt that this particular passage was when Peter was up in Antioch, but it was based on Galatians 2:11. So I'll just read it through and we'll talk about it. "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question." If you remember, this is back, this is that period of time when Paul wanted to get this settled, and he actually went down to Jerusalem to get this straightened out. "And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenix and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren." What I get from this is that this particular part of the passage, the only thing I can figure is that, based on Galatians, that Peter had gone up to Antioch. And I'm thinking it was based on, you remember that yesterday's devotional was about the fact that he was in prison and that he left to another place, if you remember that verse. And to get a better understanding, maybe just go back and look at yesterday so you can see what I'm talking about. But maybe that's the point in time that he actually went up to Antioch to get out of the area for a while. So now it sounds like he's coming back down from Antioch with Paul. And I think that's how it's verified, is through Galatians. So continuing on. "And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenix and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all their brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done from them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up. And this is where Peter is mentioned in this paragraph. And again, it based on the wording, is I guess it's figured that this is when Peter came back down to Jerusalem with this information from when he was in Caesarea. If you look at Acts chapter 11, it also talks about when Peter came and explained all this to about the Gentiles to the congregation in Jerusalem. Continue reading verse 7. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of gospel and believe. Here he's reflecting back on that whole incident there at in Caesarea. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. This is Peter talking here. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Let me continue on here, because it's a good message here. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barabbas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. This is where James, and this is the part in Galatians where it mentions that Peter had come up from talking to James. So James is aware also. And this verse here is where they figure that this is a... because Simeon, believe it or not, had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And this particular Simeon, when I started researching the name, it actually can be Simon. And depending on who's talking, it can be different dialects use different references to Peter. So Simon Peter, we got Simon, we got Simeon, and there's others even. There's even a C-E-P-H-A-S, Cephasus. It's also Aramaic for Peter. So depending on where you're reading, it can be interpreted that this is Peter they're talking about. And based on the sentence, they believe that this is Peter, actually a reference to Peter. So hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof. And I will say, oh, this is going on to talk about later on. So that's basically Peter's third journey. I know it's a little confusing. I had a lot of trouble too trying to figure out exactly if it, and it was mainly that Galatians verse that we definitely know that Peter was up in Antioch with Paul at one point. And John Mark also was up there at that time frame, from back to the journeys of Paul. So pretty much we have studied the entire book of Acts to this journey with Paul and Peter. And so I'm going to end this study on Peter. And I would love any feedback anybody would like to say as to what they think about my idea about doing John next. But actually doing the Gospel of John. It's kind of like a devotional about Jesus himself. And being that I think it's a good book to review what we know about Jesus and his ministry. Then maybe go on to Revelation. I've been wanting to do a real deep study of Revelation. So for our prophecy moment for today, this is the point where Jesus and his as a baby left after the three magi and went to Egypt because Joseph had a dream that, and we know what happened after that. Pretty sad day for Bethlehem when all the babies under 2 years old were eliminated. Sometimes I have trouble saying that word. Hard to think about the tragedies that happened during other time frames in human history. So in Hosea 11:1, we have the prediction, the prophecy. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. So this is basically the prophecy that that Jesus was going to be called out of Egypt. And of course, the fulfillment we see in Matthew 2:14. When he arose, he took the young child, his mother, by night and departed into Egypt. This is, again, when he was about 15 months old, is what they figure, or under two. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. So this fulfills prophecy. And I think what I like most about some of these verses, it just shows how much God knew ahead of time. He's omnipresent. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything. So I think it's a good remembrance to realize that God knows what's going to be coming down the pike, and that we should put our faith in that whatever he has planned for us is going to happen. And not to worry about it, because he's got us in his hands. Great comforting words. Because we were talking about Antioch today, I thought I'd review a couple of the pictures. I showed you, this is a picture of Antioch about that time frame. And let's see, there's a couple of the pictures here, fresh people's memory. This is a church that they actually called Peter's Church. It's in Antioch. It was one of the first churches. It's a road up in Antioch. And this is the inside of that church. It was actually the part you just saw, the outside part, that there was actually built much later. But the inside part where you see those people standing is actually the part that would have been about the time frame that Paul and Peter and everybody were up in this area. So I have a feeling Peter was up there for a while, and I'm thinking because of that incident where he was in prison, that he went up there for quite a while until Herod died, and that's probably about the time. There's some references that he became, after James's death, that Peter became the lead in charge of the church at Jerusalem. There's the front of that front again. I think they said that this part of it was built somewhere like 100 AD or something. That's it's after the period of time that we're talking about. That's actually called Mark's Well. It's in Antioch. So we know Mark was up there also from Paul's travels. This may be when Mark started writing the book of Mark along with Peter. Just speculation. I'm just speculating here. Maybe a lot of that happened up here. Don't really know. Some things to find out when we get to heaven. And I'm going to enjoy so much talking to some of the old patriarchs and finding out some of these stories that they told of these time frames and all the other stuff that John mentions that could be written down, although there wouldn't be enough books in the world to hold them all. So on that note, I'll say a prayer. And dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the dedication of all those out there that evangelizing your name and that go out to spread the word to everyone, nation and tongue. And thinking about Peter and all those, the first missionaries that we also think about and pray for our own missionaries today that are in some pretty dangerous places, Lord. Protect them and help them. And thank you so much for this day. And may everybody have a blessed day. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. And we'll see you all tomorrow.